You bow your heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every opportunity that we have to gather here in a place such as this to reflect on your work in our hearts. And today, as we continue our red letter challenge, we have the opportunity to reflect on the gift of forgiveness. And you have reminded us, Lord, that our ability to forgive flows out of our being forgiven ourselves. And so I pray that you would just take this time and change and transform our hearts. And where there are hurts, may you work your healing. Where there is need for forgiveness, Lord, make that happen as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you may have picked up in my prayer that we are continuing in on this red letter challenge. This whole month of March, we're diving into the study. And Pastor Brandt kicked us off last week with the idea of just being in God's presence, right? Gathering in a place of worship like this for an opportunity to just spend time with the Lord. And it encouraged you through the week's study to maybe fast or to pray or to be in God's word and just spend time with Jesus. And then for the next 4 weeks, out of that time, we're going to be able to hit certain targets. One of them is forgiveness. Next week will be on the idea of serving. And then we have the idea of giving. And then the idea of going. But today is one that's particularly hard for at least some of us Christians. Right? The idea of forgiving. You know that God expects us to forgive people, right? You know that even if you've been hurt and this person hasn't asked for forgiveness, that God expects us to forgive. What? Yes, he does. I mean, we pray it all the time. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? God expects our forgiveness of other people when they hurt us. And there's some stories that I'm going to use to kind of punch us home, because really our ability to forgive only flows out of the recognition that we ourselves have been forgiven. And so I'm going to go into one of the most impactful stories that I know about in terms of being forgiven, and that's where Peter is restored on the seashore during the resurrection time, as Jesus is walking amongst his followers before he goes to be with his Lord in the ascension. Peter's restored after he had already denied Jesus, and so I'm going to go to John chapter 21. If you want to use your pew Bibles, that's why they're there. So you can go ahead and open them up. It's page 907, John chapter 21, verses 15 and following. John 21, 15 and following. It goes like this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved, because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And through the years, as I spent time in church and getting to hear that story every Easter, I've been told that for each one of those, "Feed my sheep" and "Do you love me?" it was really Jesus looking at Peter and clicking off each of those denials and saying, "Nope, I'm not holding that against you. Nope, I'm not holding that against you. And no, I'm not holding that one against you either." And just the power of Peter being restored. But you understand what it all transpired there, right? Jesus knew that this was going to take place. And we have that in our scriptures, actually Luke 22. This is on the screen. This is before the gospel reading, just immediately before. We have this set of words that are on the screen, and you notice it says, "Simon, Simon." Peter's name is Peter. Jesus changed it to Peter, and yet at this point in time, Jesus wants Peter's attention, so he goes back to his original name. I want to make sure I have your undivided attention, Jesus says. Simon. Simon, are you paying attention? Satan has demanded to have you so that he could sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And then Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. You see, Peter was being warned that this was going to happen. Don't go there, Peter. And Simon, do you understand what's happening here? The devil wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see you just outright taken out. But I've been praying for you, Jesus tells Peter, that you would not fail. But then he says, but when you do, when you turn back, I want you to strengthen your brothers. I'm going to be there for you, is what Jesus is telling Peter. And Peter doesn't understand any of this. Until we get to the courtyard, after he had denied Jesus three times. There's a section of that gospel reading that hits me every time. It's this one point where it's only recorded in Luke, but apparently Peter and Jesus were able to make eye contact when that happened. Because it says the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then Peter weeps and leaves. Can you imagine what was that exchange, that eye contact exchange? Did they lock eyes? Did Peter see in Jesus anger or sadness? Or did he see love and I'm still here for you? And then in that exchange, he had to leave. He recognized he had fallen. He had declared he wouldn't. He would die with Jesus, and yet here he was. Three times he denied it. He protected his own skin. Whatever fear was motivating him to deny Jesus, he did it. And then he has to look at Jesus immediately as it was taking place. And so he leaves. Have you ever hurt someone? I mean, have you ever caused an injury where you knew that maybe the relationship isn't going to be the same ever again, and then you have to make eye contact with that person? Have you ever had a parent say, I'm disappointed in you? And just the hurt that hits you with? That's the power of that courtyard experience where Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And that's what I'm going to spend time with now over this next little illustration. That's what this thing is all about, this filing cabinet. There's a Christian author by the name of Joshua Harris who writes a devotion called The Room. And it's in that status, he says, where you're kind of in between awake and sleep. You know what they do to you when you're like change the clocks forward and you lose that hour? You're like, oh man, why do we do this to ourselves? But here he is, he's in this room. He finds himself in this dreaminess. And he's all alone. And he sees this sea of cabinets. And out of curiosity, I don't know why people think we can do this when no one's looking. You can kind of snoop around. And so he goes in, and he sees a file with his name on it. And he looks. And as he looks at the file, he starts to see a list of every mistake that he's ever made. Every wrong that he's ever committed. It even has in here the time that he was at Kroger in the produce section and he grabbed a grape and he ate it and he didn't pay for it, but he was just tasting it. or man, the driving 35 in a 30, that's on here. And then every other, whoa, there's some pretty dark stuff in here that I don't want anybody to know about. And so he just tucks it away. And then wouldn't you know, in walks Jesus into this room. And this feeling that he has is, all right, Lord, you're just going to say it's time to go now, right? And that's not what happens. Jesus goes to the filing cabinet. And he pulls out the file with Josh's name on it, or your name. And he looks at every mistake that was ever made. He sees the grape that was taken without paying for it. You seized the time you drove over the speed limit, not once, but more times than you can count. You seized the lust. You seized the anger. You seized the bitterness and the rage. And he looks up at you with eyes of sadness. And he comes up and he gives you a hug. And he goes back to that filing cabinet. He looks at the file one more time, looks up at you, gives you a wink, and walks away. What do you do? It's gone. There's not a record in here at all. It's not here. It's like it never happened. Folks, that's the power of that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse where it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not hold the wrongs that we have done to him or to his commandments against us. It's like it never even happened. What he does, though, and I want to make sure this point is clear, it's not like he goes, well, that wasn't really a big deal, I'm going to forget about it. No, rather, what he does, our Lord, is he becomes this cabinet. And if I had a sledgehammer, what I'd start doing right about now is I'd start beating on this thing just to show the absolute destruction of each one of our sins as it nailed our Lord to the cross. And with each one of these hits, each one of those sins, Jesus hanging on a cross cries out, Father, forgive them. You see, it wasn't just a simple matter of, it's not a big deal. It cost Jesus his very life. Your sin, my sin, those little mistakes, those big sins, it cost Jesus his life. And he chooses, as far as the east is from the west, to remember our sins against us no more. He doesn't hold it against us. And that's what he wants us to do. As we are forgiven, he wants out of that forgiveness to be able to have the ability to forgive others. Because this is what happens. When we are hurt, even if those hurts are deep and it leaves a dent, or more than a dent, it leaves a torn heart, a broken heart, or maybe what you experienced was just outright evil. Okay. What you are doing is you are walking around with your hurts all the time. All the time. All the time. And what Jesus wants you to do is just let it go. Let him have it. And you might as well, if you've been hurt, if there's that evil and that's going on and it still just wrecks you, what you're doing, you might as well just strap your hurts onto you and it paralyzes you. You can't move. And Jesus says, I know you've been hurt. I know the evil that has happened to you, but I want you to let it go. I want you to give it to me. I want you to give it to me. But it hurts, I know. I don't want this to be you. I don't want you to be defined by that action. I want you to be defined by what I've done for you on the cross. And let me tell you, Jesus says, there will be a time for this to be held accountable. It'll either happen at judgment on the last day, where my perfect justice will come through, or it'll be judged on the cross. That's the way it works with every one of our sins. We either accept Jesus and his forgiveness, or we are accountable for it at the judgment day, where we are judged and forever cut off from our Lord. Jesus says, let me have it. And I want you to have the ability to forgive. And with that, what he's saying is, give it to me. If it's in your head that, I want to be able to forgive, but I don't know how, Jesus is saying, Just pray about it. Just give it to me. And you might have to pray that over and over and over and over again. Jesus says, just give it to me. Let me have it. Don't keep any record of wrongs. It's not saying that what they did was okay. It's not saying that you have to go back into that relationship and say, boy, that was fun. Can we do that again? No, he's saying, I want to have it, and I want you to be free. I want you to be a free, forgiven child of God, and to forgive others as you have been forgiven. And that's what we get to do as Christians. We get to forgive because we know what we've been forgiven. We know the deep and the dark and the stuff that we don't even want our closest relationships to find out about. But Jesus already knows it. And he's choosing to not hold it against us because we've accepted his work for our forgiveness of sins on the cross. We're free. Free to live in forgiveness. Free to be a child of God. A daughter, a son. And to not carry that with us anymore. We can leave it here today. Amen? Amen.